Resident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 10th on the West Coast, now May the 11th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. We had a very rough afternoon. I was on the A Marines Disquisition radio show with Drew Malone Raines, who's often on Evident Footprints, and powers that be were playing around with the systems. It was very difficult to get on the air, but we managed, and time flew by. Well, tonight we're going to get into some issues, and a lot of people have been asking me what my personal stand is on the health care bill, and I just think it's a Zionist, fascist, communist takeover of this country, really. In fact, Lindsey Williams himself said that this past week, and many other people are saying the same thing. If you look very carefully at the bill, you'll see that it's loaded with all kinds of secrets. Now, we have someone who's going to deliver a message with us. She goes by the name of Glozell, and she's going to give somewhat of a different opinion about the health care bill from my own, and I'd like you to listen to this, if you would.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Unabomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He black. Yes, I said it. I said it again. I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what? I'm going to get me some health care. Showed up. I don't know why you're looking at me. You need to be at work so you can pay for my health care. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes, I do. I'm getting health care. I ain't got no job. I love America. I love me some America. Me and my seven children. All seven of my children are going to get some health care now. Showing up. Sign the bill, honey. Sign the bill. So, anywho, that's all I got to say about it. And if you don't like President Barack Obama, if you don't like him, then you is a racist. Yes, I said it. You is a racist. Uh-huh. Yeah, you are, because you know what? President Obama is doing good by me. Uh-huh, now, yes, I can get sick now. So y'all keep going to work, making all that money, because your taxes is helping me and my chillings. All right, over and out. Thank you. I love America.
And that's, that's Glozell. Now, obviously, that's a parody. But it's amazing how many people have actually responded as if this woman is serious. However, if you roam the countryside, you will hear people say exactly what she said. Not as funny, actually. But nonetheless, we are bringing Glozell to the show the first time, and I think she would make a wonderful guest to get on the show. Speaking of guests, we've got a talk show host with us, also a naturopathic doctor, a researcher, an author, and a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. In fact, he's become a regular guest on Monday nights with me, and he's my good friend who hosts his own show. It's called The Story Behind the Story, and he just launched his maiden show this evening right before coming here on Evident Footprints. He's with the Micro Effect. and he's our good friend, Dr. A. True. True, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Doug. Glozell, Cozell, I tell you what, I saw that DVD. I think we had the things circulating between us as well. By golly, yeah, it's a parody, but you're absolutely right on. It's something that's been being said by more than one person I have talked to. Absolutely brainless. And on the show tonight, we talked about that, and we're going to keep hitting that on my show as well every week, if not every night, until we get some answers. This whole thing of the ability to become president legally, you know, and the Constitution itself has to be upheld, Don. You, more than anybody that I know, has exposed this deeper and deeper with your Three Stooges Go to Washington series, and on and on. You know, there's no doubt about it in so many ways. You know, the Hawaiian birth certificate is a fraud. But why is nobody focusing, Don, on the fact that Barry Sotora's supposed birth father, Obama Sr., was not a citizen of America in the first place?
Well, so, you know, I came to the conclusion when I was analyzing the photos that he was basically another non-person. In fact, this is a technique that they used for many years. So why would they change it when they brought him on board? They had many, many fictitious people that no one ever saw, ever, throughout their whole life. But they were collecting money. They were collecting dependent benefits and Social Security and all kinds of things. So, you know, this is just nothing but rampant organized crime. Really, that's all it is. And the senior, I'm telling you, the senior was in two car accidents. You never really hear about this. They say he died in an automobile accident. They say he had an accident a year before and lost both of his legs. Now, do we really know that? Have we seen pictures? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
these are old wives' tales. I've been writing, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I've been actually scripting now all the research for the Three Stooges Go to Washington Part 8, which is about Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I was looking at her alleged mother's name. Her maiden name was Dorothy Emma Howell. Now, that sounds like a good old Puritan kind of name, doesn't it? You know, Methodist. She was supposed to have been a Methodist. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, here we have another Wizard of Oz story. You have Dorothy, who was the star. You have Auntie Emma. And you have Mr. Howell from Gilligan's Island. I mean, you've got all three names in there. Now, you know, when did anyone ever hear these people's names? It wasn't until they presented the characters to us, you see, as politicians or as lawyers, attorneys, if you want to call them that, because they don't really act like lawyers. They act like attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So we get these, you know, and I'm looking at that, and once I see that, I can't get that out of my head. You know, you just can't. Now, Barack Sr., in his alleged Hawaii, and I use that name, really, I mean, it's stupid to even use the name, because it's a non-person. Anyway, the guy that is alleged to be Barack Obama Sr. is standing amongst a group. It's in my article. He's standing amongst a group of people who are giving him a send-off, and there's some black folk in there. There's a couple of black Navy midshipmen standing around there, like this guy hung out with the Navy, you know. They made this potpourri of people standing around him, and they're actually floating. They're not on the ground. In other words, they were compiled into this picture. And they compiled him into the picture, and they put about 20 Hawaiian leis around his neck, stacked them up up to his ears. And when I changed the contrast and the the exposure level. So I could bring out anomalies. He turned into a white man.
Oh.
Okay? I mean, it's in the article. He actually turned into a white man. He's a black man from Africa, they're telling us. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is not a racist comment. This is a fact. If you've been to Africa and you've seen Africans, they have extremely dark skin. Extremely dark, especially in Kenya. Now, I did the Kenyan photos. I analyzed those. One of the alleged people in that photo, who's a cousin or something, they say, is wearing pants that on the left leg are powder blue, and midway up the left leg, they turn purple, and then the whole right leg is purple. I mean, you know, you don't see these types of things in normal photography. But every single picture alleged to be a family photo or a childhood photo of him is fraudulent. Every single one. And I went to great lengths to analyze that. Why aren't people talking about that, do you suppose? They like looking at pictures.
Well, just like Keith Olbermann and the rest of these talking heads that are passing the lies out and keeping, you know, the dialectic going, as you know. See, it's something that I didn't even quite grasp until just recently, Don, and that's, you know, the Constitution is clear on, there's basically three things that a presidential candidate needs to fulfill. Over age 35, number one. Two, being born on American soil. But the third part is that both parents have got to be U.S. citizens. Now, this is well established in the history of Barack Obama Sr. He was a Kenyan national that came to America on a student visa. How in the world can that be missed? He doesn't qualify on that. His father wasn't a citizen.
Neither did McCain. And, you know, my article came out, and still, I think it was April 30th of 2008, mm-hmm. Congress had to pass a resolution declaring him eligible. Why would you have to do that if the guy was eligible? I mean,
right.
You know, my research revealed exactly the truth about the whole story. And it was a lie from top to bottom. But what people were really shocked with is that I traced the bloodline. I traced his alleged father and his alleged grandfather on ships. And certainly he was not born in a hospital that wasn't built until seven and a half years after his alleged birth. It's an impossibility. And there's a presidential executive order issued by Franklin Delano Roosevelt telling them to go set the boundaries for the property where the hospital was to be built. That didn't occur until December 17th of 1941. They're saying he was born in the Naval Hospital on August 29th of 1936. Come on. You know, I mean, this is just outright fraud. These people don't care. They break every single law they've created. And I don't even want to use the language, but they're defecating on the Constitution is what they're doing.
Well, it's just strange that of all of the candidates, you know, from Huckabee to Ron Paul, all of that, to have McCain, who's ineligible as well, rise to the top, and then I think it's a good point. It could be just a smokescreen for the real heir apparent, Barack Satoru.
Well, you know, they allowed an illegal alien to become the president. Why, you think it's any big deal for them to allow illegal aliens to come over the borders? Absolutely not. Now, true, if I could indulge upon you and the listening audience for about 4 minutes, I have another clip that I'd like to play, which is a translation of some Jewish text that is in a video called "Did Jesus Give Us the Name of the Antichrist?" And I'd like to play that. But
before you do, let me just say, did you hear my story behind the story back as I guest hosted for Barbara Jean back in 2008. I talked about this exact thing. I had a friend of Barry Chalmers, a Hasidic Jewish rabbi, discussed this very, very thing, and this is an absolutely accurate information here, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to play this. This is called Did Jesus Give Us the Name of the Antichrist?
Did Jesus really reveal the name of the Antichrist? I will report the facts. You can decide. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said these words, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from the heavens." These words are written in Greek and translated to English. However, Jesus spoke these words originally in Aramaic, which is the most ancient form of Hebrew. As you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. If a modern Jewish rabbi were to speak these words of Jesus today, he would speak them in Hebrew, much the same way that Jesus would have spoken them. So in Hebrew, Jesus said that he saw Satan falling as lightning from the heights or from the heavens. So what are the words for lightning and heights or heavens in Hebrew? From the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, word number 1299, a primitive root word meaning to lighten or lightning or to cast forth, the word is barak. In the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, word number 1300, lightning, or by analogy a gleam, a flashing sword, or a brightness or a glittering, the Hebrew word is barak. So lightning, or a flash of light, in Hebrew is pronounced barak or barak. Now consider this amazing fact. The book of Isaiah is the source of origin for the Christian concept and understanding of Satan, or Lucifer, as Isaiah calls him, in chapter 14, especially in verses 12 through 19. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, Lucifer, or Satan, is credited with these words, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." In the verses of Isaiah that refer directly to Lucifer, several times it is mentioned that Satan has fallen from the heights or from the heavens. The Hebrew word used in this text for the heights from which Satan fell is Strong's Hebrew word 1116, pronounced Bama. Bama is most commonly used to refer to a high sacred place, as well as to the heights of the heavens or the clouds. In Hebrew, the letter wa is often transliterated as a U. Some scholars use the O for this transliteration. It is primarily used as a conjunction to join concepts together. So to join in Hebrew poetry the concept of lightning or barak and a high place like heaven or the heights of heaven, the letter U, or sometimes O, the Hebrew letter wa, would be used. So, barak o bama, or barak u bama, in Hebrew poetry, similar to the style written in Isaiah, would translate literally as lightning and the heights or the heavens, or lightning from the heights of the skies or the heavens. The word Satan is Satan in Hebrew, a direct translation. So back to Jesus' prophecy in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. If spoken by a Jewish rabbi today, influenced by the poetry of Isaiah, he would say these words in Hebrew, the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, as, "And I saw Satan as Barak Obama." Did Jesus reveal to us the name of the Antichrist? I report, you decide.
Now, before we go on, Drew, I'd like to make a comment about this video. First of all, with Osama bin Laden, we had the media using the name Usama some months after they were calling him Osama. In the beginning, if you look at the 9/11 videos, they called him Osama bin Laden, And he was known as a business partner of the Bushes as Osama bin Laden when he was in Saudi Arabia, when they were building this whole thing up about him. And if you remember, it was a publicity campaign. So if the Hebrew pronunciation is Obama, then we know we have a Zionist-controlled media. There's no doubt about it. There is no reason for everybody on Fox, everybody on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Headline News, MSNBC, C-SPAN to call him Osama bin Laden, other than they were instructed to do that. Now, the presumption that that is the actual Hebrew translation, and it may be, but they could have written that. Remember, it's the Strong's dictionary that's delivering that to us. And there's no doubt that the Bible has been tampered with by man to change the meanings to fit their plans in many, many things. It would be very simple to write the book of Revelation according to your own script and then publish it in all the books and teach that in the churches, and that's all the people know. Now, I say that, but let's also consider for a moment that I researched the Indonesian names. In fact, I researched the Moluccan language, and the name of Obama means "oh when." The name Barack does not exist in any of those languages. However, it does exist, if it's true, in the Hebrew language, and they could make that conjunction out of two names, Barry Rockefeller. Barack, and then you have the alleged Jewish component, although the Rockefellers are wannabe Jews. They're Zionists. Now, in watching this video and thinking about all of this, an overwhelming feeling came over me, and that's if that's the best Satan could do, then he's in a lot of trouble.
Well, it's a title and a name. Again, as you know, Don, that's not his real name.
Yeah,
Barry Sotoro. It's like a christening of an Antichrist or a title, a position, like Prince of Wales for Charles. Okay, that's my take on it. And here's what this rabbi told me back again before the election of 08. He was concerned. He was a biblical scholar. He knew Aramaic. He knew Greek. And you're right. The Bible is, as we know it, comes to us from the Vatican. I mean, that's just the reality. There are so many other texts that I personally know of that are just as beautiful as the writings of the New Testament. That's not a detract from the scriptures of the New Testament at all. It just says this. It's just a small fragment of so much more. Okay, and this Hebrew scholar knows this, and he talked to me a long time before we even went on the air about it. The root of the term military barrack comes from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
The barrack and barrack is a shelter place from storms. In the military lexicon, it's tied into, you know, the bolts of lightning and storm, and hail storms and those type of things is where it came from. So the state of Alabama, in the history of that is Yiddish, again, going back to the Greek structure, Allah, meaning a slice of, like Paul Alamode, a piece of, Obama being heaven, peace of heaven. Literally, that's what that comes from. So the two going together, it's a title of an Antichrist system. That's what I need to point out. Not that he's the only one, but it's a precursor to a system.
Yes, that's how I understand it. And you know, and they very likely could have selected his name for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
What I also learned, despite what college professors and historians and archaeologists and anthropologists were saying, is that there is no name Barack Obama in the Luo language. It doesn't exist in the Luo tribes of Kenya. So that was another yarn that they wove just to throw up another smokescreen to confound things. And we know they lie. I caught Harvard University on their Loeb Classic Library homepage. James Loeb was the alleged donor. And they start out by saying our founder was born in New York City. And I have him coming into Ellis Island from Germany several times saying he was born in Landsberg, Germany. Now, why would you make such a claim if you were born in New York? He didn't care. He just didn't care. And until I had discovered that, no one else did either. the truth is like that. I've spent years on this stuff now, and I'm not saying that I'm the only one that has these answers, but we have a lot of answers that are being tied into 501c3 corporations, is how I see it now, today. And in light of all the corruption that I see, and the churches are heavily involved in it, even after all this research I did on Eisenhower, I can now make a connection to the Baptist Church as well. He actually wrote a piece, a historical piece, for the Baptist Church. But what it does is it catalogs all the people that they secreted into the country as spies to give them some legitimacy, you see. They have to write these stories and say, Brother AC this and Brother JQ this, and, they make up these names. Everybody's got initials, so you can't figure out what their names are. But I did. I did. All of them. So.
Yes, you did. So, well, on it goes, on it goes. I discovered this last weekend on a very interesting article. I was a friend referred me to it. It's the author's a guy named by the name of Mark Bard, B-A-A-R-D. The article in question was posted in the magazine Government, dated the 23rd of June of 07. This is a whole expose on the sentient world simulation. Sentient world. I can't even talk. My mouth is getting numb. Sentient world simulation, SWS. Have you ever heard of that before, Don?
No, I haven't.
I hadn't either, and I was just stunned with what I found and did some digging and tracking. Well, of course, you've heard of DARPA, Department of Advanced Research Projects Agency. Well, this is a project of DARPA in conjunction with the Department of Defense and Homeland Security, which they started this about the same time that we began to have the rhetoric about going into Iraq in early 2003. What the sentient world simulation is, quote, this is right from the DOD documents, it is a, quote, synthetic mirror of the real world with automated continuous calibration with respect to current real-world information. And this is tied into the Cray supercomputer models. Basically is creating a parallel cyber world. Okay, now get this. There's 6.5 billion individual nodes in this simulated world, this computer cyber-driven parallel reality, billions of individual nodes reflecting every man, woman, and child on the planet. In other words, there's a Don Nikoloff node there. There's an A True Lot node. Everybody that is there is represented in this parallel dimension of reality that they're building. And I can believe what I'm reading here and learning. It actually is a model for testing. This is right out of the document. Quote, provides an environment for testing psychological operations, PSYOP, the paper reads, so that the military and world leaders can, quote, develop and test multiple courses of action to anticipate and shape behaviors of adversaries, neutrals, and New World Order partners. are you kidding me? I wonder how many little long-legged or short-legged MagDaddy nodes there are. Because in doing the cross-referencing, in the U.S. Census Bureau information, there's only one Barack Hussein Obama, but he has 80 aliases and 27 Social Security numbers.
Well, he's got more than that.
That's what's in the Census Bureau. Who is this guy? Holy mackerel! And in light with what's going on with this crazy supercomputer reality world that's been created here.
I put a bonus page at the end of one of the Three Stooges articles on him, and I used one of the data sheets that has all of his aliases. You know, like if you were to enter his name in there to look for him, it brings up a bunch of names. One of the names was Hillary Obama.
What?
Oh yeah, it's on my website. It's there.
And, I wonder if their genes fit each other.
And there's another one, wannabe Obama. I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
Wannabe.
They're just playing Monopoly with the people's money. It's a money laundering database.
Okay, let's get this straight. You mean to say that there is a Social Security number tied to Obama with those names on it?
Well, first of all, they list the names, okay? And these names are encoded to refer to a piece of property. In many cases, when you click on the name, you might find 20 or 30 properties. And it'll say that 10 properties are in Hawaii and 8 are in Florida and there's 6 in Wisconsin. And 4 in Seattle, Washington. You'll see these things under each entry there. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wannabe Obama.
Wanna, first name is Wanna, W-A-N-N-A, middle name B, and then Obama. Wannabe Obama.
Now, wannabe is more, I guess, a more Kenyan-sounding name than
well,
Barack.
It's... Basically, all it is money laundering. It's organized crime. But it's like they're having fun with it. You know, if you were to go looking and you'd see this, it wouldn't register in most people's minds what they're seeing. They're going to say, oh, he has a big family. You know, this is how I found the child sacrifice, by cross-referencing records.
Okay, wait a minute. What child sacrifice?
It sounds like you haven't read my work.
I have not. I'm not this part. I don't know where I missed that one.
Okay. I was doing some real estate research, and I came across one of these databases, and I came up with a Social Security number, and the Social Security number was tied to a baby that lived 56 days. Remember that number, okay?
Okay, but this is a baby of who? Michelle and Brock, or?
Well, it's. I'll just give you the name. The name was Renee with a double E on the end. Abena, A-B-E-N-A, Obama, and then there's a variation. Renee Abena L, as in Lee, Madeline Lee Payne. Okay, Obama. So this baby, Renee Abena Obama, died was born on Halloween night, or Halloween, let's say, okay, and died on December 25th, 2004.
Really?
Yes. Now, there's a significance to this. I went back and I looked at the birth dates of the alleged family, and of course, none of these people are really family members. They're just doing numerological magic, okay? This is Masonic magic and satanic magic all rolled into one. Rolla Charles Payne, the alleged father of Madeline Lee Payne, who's the alleged grandmother of the short-legged Mac Daddy, was born on December 25th of 1894, according to them. So this would have been the 110th anniversary of his birth, the death of this baby. It was exactly 110 years. Now, mind you that this is the dates that they're giving us, okay? So the baby lived 56 days. 5 and 6 is an 11.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The year is a 6 also, just for your information. 2004 works out to be a 6. So here we have a baby born Halloween, dies on Christmas, on the 110th anniversary of the great-grandfather, or in this case, the great-great-grandfather of the baby, and 110 years apart. That's a numerological 11. The following day, 146,000 people were reported to have died in the Indonesian tsunami. Indonesia. Where did I say he's from? Where did I say he was born? Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the next day, 146,000. 1 plus 4 is 5, plus 6 is 11. Now you have 3 elevens. The baby's death was reported by a funeral director. But didn't occur in a hospital, nothing like that. I looked up the code. I thought, wow, this is strange. In Maryland, a Maryland funeral director reported the baby's death to the Social Security Social Security system, and it went into the death index. Baby had a number. Somebody's making money off of that, okay? Now, I've traced the piece of property to Tamarack, Florida. And the number of the building, it's a condominium, the number of the building, which is in the baby's name, Renee Abena Obama, is number 111.
Oh, my.
Now you have 11 plus 11 plus 11 plus 11, and that's 44. Who's the 44th president?
Alfred E. Newman?
Yes. Yes.
Mad okay. Magazine.
This is how they use their numerology. I put no credence in it. They do. But their signature is there. Now, the Bali nightclub bombing actually has a number 44 value, too. 9/11 has a 41. Oklahoma City has a 42, as does the two prior bombings that occurred at the World Trade Center. 42. It's the signature of who's in power at that time. And that's why they do it on those dates. That's why they pick those dates. Plus, they love the twin concept. You see, the twin towers, the twins, New York, New York, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Texas City, Texas, Florida City, Florida, Kansas City, Kansas, et cetera, et cetera. To them, that's a mystical number 11. Don't you find it interesting how these coincidences are so close? That's how deep the research was. And you got people arguing over papers in Hawaii and papers in Kenya, and they're right here in the United States, the corruption. And we have a Wizard of Oz story there, too, with that group. And it ties into Denison, Texas. The Paynes, the Dunhams, ended up going to Denison, Texas. They had to. They were all going there. And I would suspect that there are records somewhere there in Texas. Well, I'm publishing them. I'm publishing some communications between many politicians and the people that set up Eisenhower's phony identity. And it's pretty revealing. But you should take another look at that, Drew.
Yeah, I got that.
There is a lot of information. There is a lot. And it's documented. You know, it's why are things like that registered with the Social Security Department? You know, why would they register it? They're collecting money.
Well, I asked the question on my show, Don, the fact that Barack Sotero, his law license from Illinois was revoked in 2002, and by court order, Michelle's was also revoked. Now, there's a story behind the story on that one, I submit. Why was it revoked? Did they know something that the American public don't know?
I heard hers had something. Hers was taken away regarding something that occurred in Wisconsin, and I've been trying to find out what that was. But you know how difficult that is.
Uh huh.
You know the connection to Chicago is very sinister, and it's a shame that city has to suffer for all the corruption that's going on there.
Well, it's always been that way from the days of Al Capone and the South Side gangs there. I mean, Chicago is probably worse than any other city.
Well, you could go back 40,000 years, and that part of the world was very evil, too. That's for another show, though.
Okay. So, where are we now? I mean, there's... I received an email from somebody that I found it kind of interesting that there was a lot of inner earth, shall we say, battling going on over this oil spill.
Well, we get different spins. I can certainly tell you and the listeners there's a lot going on in space, and it has to do with who's here. You hear a lot about underground bases these days. And it has everything to do with the underground bases and who lives in the underground bases,
mm-hmm.
or underground tunnels. This oil spill has spawned a whole nest of ridiculous stories to blame someone else for what was planned. You know, we had this happen. That's what a false flag is.
Mm-hmm.
We had this event that occurred on 9/11. And who got blamed? A couple towel-headed camel jockeys hiding in caves in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I refer everyone back to the night of 9/11, and you can probably find this. I know I have the video of it, but you could probably Google this. NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw the night of that horrific day. They quickly showed a vignette of a huge bomb going off in Afghanistan that night. Now, it was actually there in Afghanistan. It was already September 12th, I'm presuming, when that went off. Or they were just showing us delayed tape from the night of the 11th there. So they actually started this whole thing in Afghanistan on 9/11. It was documented in the news. And I think Peter Jennings did something on that, too. They just showed this, you know how they show these wide shots and panned way out at a distance, showing the top of a mountain blowing up, and you see this big orange blast in the night sky. It's basically what they showed, and then they have a voiceover telling you what it is. Well, that's propaganda. Certainly propaganda. And then the fact that the media is saying Bin Laden was behind this, and then Bin Laden comes out and says he didn't have anything to do with it. But did anyone actually see Bin Laden say that? Did anyone actually see him in person saying that? No. And the same with Saddam Hussein. There are a lot of other reasons why those things went on. Now, what's occurring in the Gulf now? We know there were put options. We know they were trading Transocean limited stocks. And there was a big announcement about it the day before this happened. And that was the well that was most affected. That was the company that was most affected by that event that occurred. And though BP was responsible for the well, the stock belonged to Transocean Limited, which was run by Mark Rich, a Bush crony, see? And then you have Halliburton in there doing the concrete work and owning the fire company as well. They had recently purchased the fire company for $240 million. Boots and coots. So they got them out of the way. It's a false flag. And then, what, roughly 2 weeks after the event, they're broadcasting that a North Korean sub was seen there. Now, when they talked Korea into shooting off some missiles, and you remember that event, Bush went over there and paid them something like $55 million for doing that. And you're telling me with all the satellite technology they have that they couldn't spot a Korean sub in our waters? I mean, what, you know, this is ridiculous. And then it's a Sorsha Falls story on top of it, you see.
Sure.
So these are all mind games they're playing, and you've got people passing the emails around and talking about it, giving it credibility, and it really doesn't have credibility, and it really doesn't matter who they're going to blame, because it's always the same group of people. It's not the regular people, citizens around the world doing this. It's the governments and the corporations.
Right.
They're like vampires on us and on each other. So, you know, as far as inner Earth stuff, I mean, you know, I heard people talking again yesterday about Planet X. It's ridiculous. Now they're saying, oh, it doesn't come around every 3,600 years. It's really 4,200 years. Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Use your own discernment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So?
Yeah, the bottom line is, like we talked on my show last week with Sterling Allen and Paul Noel, you know, the depth of this thing, 6,000 or 5,000 feet in depth, well, you know, you look at the movie Crimson Tide, and verify the storyline there, that you get down at 3,000 feet, the pressure on a nuclear submarine hull would just crush it, just like a tin can that has all the pressure sucked out of it. It just will crush that hull. How in the world are they getting miniature subs down to 5,000 feet to do the repair work? That's my question.
Yeah. Some people have said that they're going to have to channel some of this mud that they use to seal that up. They're going to have to channel that down there to cover up the hole. But you know what they can do? They can take a saucer and go down there. I mean, they have the technology to do this, true? They can do it with a saucer. If they really wanted to stop it, they could have the reptilians take theirs down there and do it. But it's against their agenda to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that what they're saying are traditional ways to do it doesn't make sense. And so
yeah.
what's So what's the real agenda to get that going out there? 70,000 PSI, according to Paul Noel, it would just make that hole grow exponentially with not a lot of options to clean it up. And again, following the Gulf Stream currents that just happen to originate right there off, you know, the southern tip of Louisiana where the Mississippi River Delta flows in, that is basically the origins of the Gulf Stream. And look at it, the projections of where this oil will travel, oh my goodness, it's going to affect a third of the Earth's seabed and the biomass in the oceans. Mm-hmm. Well, the question needs to be asked, if you have one-third of your bloodstream in a human body corrupted and turned into toxic sludge, how long could the body itself last?
Yes, exactly. Last week I reported that I had heard two clips from the Mark Levin show. And I don't know if that's an internet show. The archive is available on the internet, but someone could have taped it, or you know, a lot of radio stations, mainstream stations, have their websites to attract internet people as well. And there is an alleged worker from that platform who was rescued, and he described basically what happened. He's going by the name James. That's uh-huh. not his real name. And Mark Levin says, oh, we checked you out, and you are who you say you are. Well, anybody could say that. You know, true, I checked you out. You are who you say you are.
I'm true, truly. Truly, Don, truly.
But, I mean, what does that say about a total stranger? You know, when they put that out, it to me, it smacked, it was rather contrived, okay? Sounded very contrived. You shouldn't have to say that. Well, we checked you out. I mean, the guy's using an alias. How'd you check him out?
Oh, really?
How did you check the guy out? How were you so fortunate to take this guy's call and exclude everyone else from calling into the show? You know, it was like the interviews they did on 9/11 at the World Trade Center, at the Pentagon. It was like the interviews they did at the Buffalo. I'm using the word Buffalo. It was actually outside of Buffalo, but Flight 3407 about a year ago, that crash where the plane was described as coming down in flames, yet they said it crashed because of ice buildup, and none of the other planes in the sky got ice buildup at all, you know. And they had witnesses there, and these people were saying, yeah, I live a block away from where the plane crashed. And I actually looked and looked these people's names up and traced them, and there were some anomalies with all of them. There was one guy who, if he was in town at the time, he would have been staying with his parents because his registered address was in Buffalo. And each of the alleged witnesses that they brought on the air, this was on CNN. CNN was conveniently there to film the whole thing. That's how they get the insurance money. They have to show it on film to the insurance company. And it hit two houses, and they said it hit one. We had an independent former EMT worker there who filmed the whole thing and interviewed people, and he said that two houses were hit. And we had descriptions from a 12-year-old girl who said she was looking out her bedroom window at the time the plane came down, and she saw it on fire. She knew it was going to crash. And people that claimed that they lived in the town there actually lived in Buffalo, and they all had a common address in Akron, Ohio.
Really?
Oh, yes. Wow. And so there's a connection to Acorn there, you see. And then that immediately connects the whole group to Sidley Austin in Chicago. Sidley Austin's the law firm that the short-legged Mac Daddy and his wife worked in. Okay? Now, a lot of that research was brought forth by David Hawkins and Field McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
So we can connect all these people. You see, they're working in hit squads, and there were a number of ways that they could bring that plane down, and we came to the conclusion that they used a device that basically just disabled all the electronics in the plane and started it on fire, and they can't control it, and it crashes, especially at night. And in most of the instances when these planes crash, they crash before they make it to the runway. They make sure that the planes are destroyed before they have a chance to make it an emergency landing in a safer place. Every instance. The crash, the Polish plane crash that occurred in Russia.
Right.
Now there's an audio tape going out where you're hearing gunshots. But you don't know that recording was made at the time of the plane crash. They're trying to blame somebody else for something that certainly sounds like it's the same group of people doing it.
Right.
You see? And who, you know, what's the relationship to Poland? Let's say if you wanted to talk about who has an interest in creating some chaos in another country. Well, where's Brzezinski from? Isn't he from Poland?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so you can start to make connections there. And there are secret CIA torture chambers in some of these countries as well. For instance, in Poland. So they took out, major cabinet people. What was it, 94 people? And then they're putting out this videotape audio tape where you can hear two men yelling things in Russian, and they're saying, these are the firemen that went to the scene. And then you're hearing shots way in the background, like pistol shots, like they're shooting the survivors. And you know, it's couched in echo, and I don't even know that you would necessarily hear it. But how is it that somebody was there just to tape the audio? They claimed they were filming it. I don't know. Why would they be filming it?
Yeah, why?
You know, unless they wanted to document it for insurance purposes, you see? Because they bet on these things. Like they did on 9/11, Larry Silverstein bet on and got a double indemnity policy. It's so obvious what they're doing.
Yeah, it is. How do you get all these transfer payments they just announced today to the European Union to help prop up the euro? How can a bankrupt nation, you know, bail out any other economy that's floundering, especially the European Union? How does that work?
Well, they're doing it sort of like they're with what they're doing in the Federal Reserve, aren't they? Uh-huh. You see, they've transferred all of the assets into gold, and they're hoarding the gold, and they're saying, "Well, we don't have this, and we don't have that," and they're just printing money and paper money, and the paper money is not worth anything to them. It's only, as you know, it's only debt instruments. So whoever's holding this is holding debt.
That's right.
And the foreign countries aren't buying the T-bills. They're not buying these treasury bonds. They won't do it. They've been taken advantage of too many times. They've been lied to. They've been tricked and scammed. And, the first big one occurred against the Saudis in August of 2008 when their 30-year bonds matured.
Right.
Okay. And then what did they do? They started lowering the price of oil. They lowered it and lowered it and lowered it and brought it down to $34 a barrel, which made it impossible for them to operate. Even though, allegedly, it cost them 50 cents to produce a barrel of oil. Mm. And there was a time they were getting $150 a barrel for the oil.
Right.
Now, some people explain it that, well, really they're only paying 50, but they have all this extra debt. Wait a minute. They didn't get the value of their bonds, you see. That money was stolen. The overthrow of the Shah of Iran occurred when the payments came due. Rockefeller didn't want to pay him. So they started a war. You see, and they used Saddam Hussein for that purpose. And then when they wanted to go in there and get Kuwait, what did they do? They baited him into attacking Iraq. They wanted to get into Iraq. They baited Saddam into going into Kuwait. Nobody did anything. And then they said, oh, we have to stop this. Okay, so we had the first Gulf War. Let them try out the sound of silence, right?
Mm-hmm.
The new technologies.
Did you catch Stephanopoulos on the ABC's Meet the Press Sunday?
No, I have to say I can't stomach watching mainstream.
I didn't either, but I got transcripts sent to me from a... Stephanopoulos, George Steffi Stephanopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him, the golden hair boy of Clinton, the Clinton press secretary, who just went up to the ranks of ABC document. He interviewed Ahmadinejad, President Ahmadinejad of Iran. And it was amazing what he was accusing, because here's just an excerpt from the manuscript. Stephanopoulos asked one final question. There's a new documentary out that says that Osama bin Laden is living in Tehran. And the subject of the documentary, a man named Alan Parrott, one of the world's foremost falconers living in Iran, says he's spoken to Osama bin Laden several times since 2001, or since 2003. Is Osama bin Laden in Tehran? So, you know, see what's going on here? Let's see. This guy's hiding out in Iran now. He's left those caves that have been bombed to smithereens and all this war in Afghanistan, supposedly to find bin Laden. He somehow slipped through all of this. This terrible thing is now living in Iran. Ahmadinejad said, quote, your question is laughable.
Yes, of course it is. Now we have numerous stories that he died in December of 2001.
Yeah.
He sent his second in command to the Philippines to Manila on November 1st of 2001 to give that organization money and arms and red mercury, like they did with Ted Gunderson in 1986. Now, I don't know that Ted was privy to what they gave him, but Michael Reconosciuto was there. You can draw your own assumptions as to what that might have been about.
Right.
It was computers, cash, arms, and Stinger missiles. And they were going to program these missiles. And I know that Michael had said something to the effect of he wanted reports back as to how those were functioning, because he did some special work for those. I think it had to do with being able to take out helicopters, but not airplanes. And so he had made some adjustments as to how high those missiles could actually be fired. Oh, man, it's just one thing after another. But you can see the writing on the wall. They want to attack Iran. They want to start a nuclear confrontation.
Yeah, that's where it's heading, I'll tell you. There's no doubt about that. If Iran is attacked, it's World War III.
Well,
stage is being set for it, Don.
Well, I suppose they could send Larry Silverstein to Iran, too, and do the same thing, couldn't they?
Well, what, hide in a cave?
Well, not necessarily, but I mean, just send him there, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, he had a lot to do with 9/11. He had foreknowledge of it. There's no doubt about that. I'm not putting the sole blame on him. It's obvious that it was an international intelligence operation.
Well, it goes back to this report I just pulled up. It's a lengthy one, published in 1996. It was the projections on what the intelligence community, from the CIA to all of the Department of Defense growth, would be facing now that, you know, the Iron Curtain's fallen, the Berlin Wall's fallen. What do they need to have big, huge IC, intelligence community, going on during the Clinton years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this report is stunning because it's flat out, it documents all of the atrocities, over 100,000 crimes against humanity by these CIA and NSA agents, and it's just, and it's all there in the report to Congress, and it basically wants to basically eliminate much of the Central Intelligence Networking because it's redundant. There's so much of it being, you know, copied and done with Navy intelligence, Air Force, Army intelligence. All these, the services have their own intelligence network. So much of this stuff is, much of the equipment, the technology is all redundant. It just needs to be a centralized pillar. And that's what it was moving towards. There was going to be a five-year further analysis by Congress in 1996. So they were going to reassess 5 years later for final recommendations. Well, the final recommendations were to come out in December of 2001. So here's what happened. So then we have a new war on terror and a whole new enemy to fight, this radical Islam. So look who's been the big winner of the events of 9/11. We have a whole new bureaucracy of intelligence connections that the Homeland Security created. All of this just expands out geometrically. And like I said earlier, we have that simulated model of the supercomputer that's tied in. And by the way, it shows that all of your Facebook and Twitter, all these social networking sites, Don, are portals of information feeding this giant Kraken supercomputer to make the models work. Isn't
yes.
that just amazing?
Well, and I've told people that, you know, why don't you join MySpace? Why don't you join Facebook? You can even tell which ones are totally they're operatives, they're sleeper agents, and all of that.
Yeah, where does the money come from to operate these things? Twitter, Facebook, all of these. Well, guess what? It comes millions of dollars from the Department of Defense and the NSA funding. Why? You see, they need to have some data mining capabilities to fuel this model of cyberspace. Stunning, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's their plan. They made it what it is, and intentionally they made it what it is. You know, problem, reaction, solution. What's the big problem on the Internet now? They want to make it safe for kids. What about TV? Do you think TV is safe for kids these days with the garbage that they're broadcasting on every mainstream TV channel?
Right.
Filthy language, just nonstop infomercials, and in between the infomercials, commercials. Selling drugs, selling products to enhance one's libido.
And don't forget the all the alcohol commercials, which are getting to be quite a lion's share now. From,
yeah.
from Anheuser-Busch and Coors and Silver Bullet, all of this, and Captain Morgan, you know, the rum. Just more and more, Don.
Yeah. Well, You know, some years ago I wrote a song called Osama Bin Laden. Would you like to hear it?
Well, sure.
It's been a while since I've actually played some of my music on the show. And this is a parody, folks. you're going to recognize the music portion, courtesy of the Guess Who. But I wrote the lyrics, and I'm playing all the instruments. And I named it after this fictitious character that is the boogeyman of the world, even in 2010. And that's the true story of Osama bin Laden.
There's the maestro at work. That's pretty excellent, Don. Who's saying that?
Me.
Is that you?
Me. That's me. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. I sound like an African-American brother there.
Well, touch you, Benny Mankiw.
Take it lucky. pretty awesome.
Yeah, cool. It was just one of those ideas, you know. It's how you vent. It was a ridiculous story, so I wrote some ridiculous lyrics,
yeah.
You know, and I gave it a Middle Eastern flavor.
Yes,
for the
did.
Zionists.
Well, that's what Aminajad said to Stephanopoulos. You know, hey, you know, my intelligence tells me he's in Washington D.C. And Steffi was upset and says, "Oh, you have no such information." And he said, I can just tell it got kind of heated in the discussion. Stephanopoulos says, "I'll ask you just one more time, and then I'll let you go. If you knew that Osama bin Laden was in Tehran, which you say you don't, if you knew, would you expel him? Would you arrest him? Would you show him hospitality?" And then finally, Aminajad says, our borders are closed to the illegal entry of anyone who that may be. Whether it's the three American mountaineers, Mr. bin Laden, or anyone else, our borders are closed. Our position is clear. You know, it's funny how America can't say that. Our borders aren't closed. They're wide open, and anybody and everybody can come in.
Oh, man. He actually said that, huh?
Yeah, this is in the transcript. And then he goes, Aminajad, I'm quite surprised to see that you adjust your daily lives based on the news that is being broadcast. I'm concerned that the government of the United States takes positions based on such news. If it is so, it is too bad. The news must be accurate and accountable, otherwise it will disrupt the relations between the nations. Just like this, did the government of the United States know about the location of Mr. bin Laden? And you said, no, they went to find out. Well, first you locate. Stephanopoulos said, they interrupted and says, they lost the trail. Aminajad, to find out they have invaded Afghanistan? First they have to find out his location and then invade. It's like for a judge to arrest someone and then go after the evidence.
Yeah, they knew where he was, true, and they chased him into the Tora Bora Mountains and ordered them to stand down and let him get away.
Stephanopoulos, but you deny categorically that he's in Tehran today? He is not. Osama bin Laden is not in Tehran today? Aminajad, rest assured that he's in Washington. I think there's a high chance he's there.
Yeah, and his alias is George Bush.
Bush.
George Bush.
Oh, my goodness. But it's just, all this time they're trying to pin this now that he's in Tehran, just like the weapons of mass destruction were all there in Iraq as well. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous.
It is. And, you know, that invasion into Iraq resulted in a big transport of gold that ended up getting waylaid in Jordan and then picked up and taken, guess where? Fort Hood.
Fort Hood, oh yeah.
And that was the reason for that false flag event. It's pretty easy to figure out their methods. That's what they're doing. They do it.
Don't hear much about what's his name there, Ahmad, do we?
Or Hassan?
Hassan, Ahmad, or whatever his name is. Don't hear about him anymore because it's not a topic.
Nidal Malik Hassan, I think his name was. If I remember correctly, I wrote a piece and went down the rabbit hole on him, too.
Yep, Virginia Tech all the way and mind control Manchurian candidate, just like the rest of them.
Yes, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's the same lies over and over and over. This has been going on for quite a long time. All the directions point to who's involved, who's making money, and who's footing the bill for all of this. And, you know, lately we've been hearing some talk show hosts identifying who created Al-Qaeda. I'm glad we're finally hearing a chorus of that now. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thugs in the CIA who were behind that. There's a very interesting piece, by the way. I want to encourage you and the listeners to read what Chris Story posted at worldreports.org. It's been there for a number of days. And it talks about the Lords of Darkness. It's a secret faction of the CIA that whose members have to commit a murder once a month to stay in the club. And they have been targeting family members and former members of the CIA as their victims. And many of these are overseas. And a man who investigated this was threatened himself by Dick Cheney. It's pretty amazing. And it alludes to all kinds of corruption and money laundering that occurred, selling CIA-owned laptop computers for $50,000 a piece, cash only, in the White House, by appointment. And they have all this on film. This was reported some time ago, but Chris did a follow-up piece and really just laid it all out.
Wow.
And the names of certain people who were taken out, murdered, in other words, were deleted. At least they thought they were deleted. And there are all kinds of military and intelligence secrets compromised. Of course, they're selling these to the Soviets and anybody they want. Anybody who has the money can buy it. The investigator was recalled in. They were losing so many of their operatives that they had to call in an old-timer to come in and investigate. And he was asked by George Tenet to locate the killer, because this was a system that they were using. They were skinning these people alive. And, you know, it was gruesome. It's a satanic underground group called the Lords of Darkness. They even have a manual called How to Please the Lords of Darkness. And it describes all the methods that they're supposed to use in committing these murders. This one individual had basically investigated 168 of those murders. And the two people he said were behind it were Dick Cheney and the Bushes. Say the Bushes, because W is too preoccupied with other things, and it was likely Senior that was behind it. The MO is there on all these false flag events. Same people.
And, wow, interesting information, Don, as always.
So, well, true, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your putting up with everything tonight, the music and.
Oh, it's good. I've enjoyed every minute of it, Don. It was very thought-provoking, to say the least. So, well, I just want to wish you well, and we'll talk again and have you on my show now that we have a different network. I can delve into a lot more of these much deeper subjects, a little bit more freer. So I'll be happy to do that with you.
Yes, and if you would, True, before you go, give out your web information and the information on your show. I can do that, but you can do it so much better than me. So,
well, it's the story behind the story is the name of the show. It's now airing on the Micro Effect Network, just themicroeffect.com. They have a satellite transponder. You can listen to it also on live feed on your phone. If you have unlimited phone calling abilities, you can listen to the show very well. I'm listening to it on the other talk show host. I put it right on my iPhone, and it comes in beautifully through the iPhone as a podcast or whatever, and then you can also get it on the satellite radio networks as well. Plus, they've got a huge AM and FM sister stations that are live all across the country and worldwide now. So it's it's an expansion, most definitely, of the show. We feel like it's a good move. So that's from 9 to 11 my time, which is 8 to 10 on the West Coast, and of course 11 to 1 on the Best Coast.
Yeah, you run right up to my show, so on Mondays you're going to be hopping right over here.
Not a problem. Happy to do it.
Okay. Well, and again, the name of the show is The Story Behind the Story. Now, your website is meminerals.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's my business. I do a line of nutraceutical minerals that are quite unique, and we do sell worldwide. We do ship, we shipped our first shipment into China even, so there's some inroads being made there. Somebody's listening to me somewhere.
Okay. So, and I'm pleased to announce that you have a new website up too called atrueot.com, and I went there to visit that. I know you've got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do to get that all set. We're going to set up the live streams of the show there. We'll want to put a lot of links into your work, of course, and tie into your Evident Footprints work as well. So that's just I got to get the time to do it all, and hopefully the weekends I'll be able to catch up and get it done.
Well, let me know what I can do to help you in that regard. You know, I can give you all the direct links to the pages if you want, or indexes or whatever.
Great. So, I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. I appreciate it. Well, that wraps it up, True. I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to wish you the best of luck with your new show, though you really don't need it. But it doesn't hurt for people to pray and listen to your show. And it's going to enter a new dimension, I'll predict, because you have no censorship.
Yeah, that appears to be the case here. So, well, you know, and as if we don't even need that, the topics we discuss and broach are legitimate and factual with a ton of evidence behind it. So, yeah, it's just, you know, we're not going to go out and talk about, you know, leprechauns and fairies, I don't think. But, you know, there's so much hidden in this world that's accurate and important information, just because it's we're programmed to think it's a little out there doesn't mean it is. So with that, I'll say good night. Thank you, Don.
Okay. Thank you, too, True. You have a good night.
Good night.
And, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. True Ott. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. Also, I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.